Open this meeting now with prayer and ask a blessing also on the day's activities. Brother Tom Kutkowski will lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for this day that thou hast given us, which thou hast given us thy sunshine of thy favor, as well as the sunshine of health and goodwill. We ask it. And we thank you for these wonderful blessings that thou hast given us as we have begun this day in which we can worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we ask a blessing upon us as we assemble, that the words that we may hear may be unctuous and blessed to all. We may receive a word of comfort, a word of cheer that we may have need of. Father, thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we know that our strength in these days have always been maintained because we've been in thy grace. And now, Father, we gather at this watering place, at this place in which thy food shall be dispensed. We would ask again for another refilling that we have need of, knowing that thy storehouse indeed does give to our minds and our hearts and to our souls comfort and grace sufficient for every occasion. And so, Father, as we think of the dark moments that have overcome us, we have seen the dark clouds in the horizon. We know that these have indeed been born, and they indeed bring unto us blessings of joy if we can only see there that they are transparent. And so, Father, we'd ask for this vision given unto us, the anointing of our eyesight, to behold all thy goodness, even in the affairs of life, knowing that all these work in us a character and a being fitting for thy grace. And so, Father, we want to be fitted by all these trials and these sufferings that thou hast given unto us, that we might be fitted and made acceptable unto thee. And we're thankful for that wonderful pattern set before us, even our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, who endured these things, even that of the cross. And so, Father, we accept whatever be thy cup that thou hast poured out for us, and may we indeed drink of it heartily and willingly. Forgive us for our shortcomings and failures, and we ask the blessing upon the word that shall be spoken, upon the speakers, and upon those who have arranged for this convention, for this gathering of the Lord's people, for those who labor to provide the temporal things, and also those who labor to see that our spiritual inner man is fed and prepared, and preparations for it are provided. And so we thank thee for the ones that have been selected to guide our minds and hearts. Indeed, may they be blessed. Indeed, we pray for the harvest work to continue, that that work may be indeed finished, and then the saints may be called to their reward and rewarded with joy exceedingly abundantly above, which we now only aspire to. We ask these favors and pray these things, too numerous to number, counting our many blessings, yes, one by one, and not having time to be able to do all these. And so we know we must indeed follow thy grace and thy leadings. To follow thy leadings is to our choice, and to allow time that we may indeed count all these many blessings. We pray these favors and ask all these things upon us here gathered, for we are indeed gathered in a special place, a place, a lofty place. We also pray for those who are yet degraded, yet have been overcome by the great usurper of this age, who indeed shall be deposed and his reign come to an end. So we do pray for that time to come, and pray that we may indeed escape his wiles, his terrible temptations. We pray these things and offer our thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Brethren, we welcome you today in our midst and greet you, give you the greetings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're very happy that we can still get together to hear the word of the Lord and to speak the word of the Lord. Remember in the book of Revelation, 10th chapter, it speaks about this book that we eat, and it is very sweet when we partake of it. That's the word of God. And after a while, when we try to digest it, we sometimes get persecution from it. But anyway, it says, thou must prophesy again after the book of Revelation, the word of God. And we believe this represents the individual Christian, that as he exemplifies the word of God in his life. Thou must prophesy again unto kings, nations, tongues and the people of Israel. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to prophesy again, to speak the word of God. The Lord gave the word, and great was the number of those that published it. And so Brother Ralph Gaunt is going to speak to us again on the word of God. And we're going to listen to it. And we are sure that we're going to be benefited by it. And the topic is, At the Sound of a Trumpet. So we're Brother Ralph Gaunt from Jackson, Michigan.
We're rejoicing greatly in our Heavenly Father's love and His goodness and His mercy. We want to express our gratitude to Him primarily. Also want to express our gratitude to the brethren for our fellowship here, especially last night, and for the hospitality that's been shown to us. The motive for my remarks this morning is based on our desire for survival, probably one of the strongest motives we have. A desire for survival as new creatures in Christ Jesus, survival for our life and for what the truth means to us. And it's a strong motive. And this is our whole message, really, in connection with the word of truth, the trumpet. And before we start, I'd like to say that there are really three different kinds of trumpets mentioned in the Bible. We've tried to show them here. Hebrew, it's keren, K-E-R-E-N. It's really a ram's horn. This is the primitive trumpet, and it's the oldest type of trumpet. Now, generally, the trumpet that was used to announce the Jubilee, and this is subject to debate. I'm not the last word on this, because I'm not that all that sure. But I believe that the shofar was the one that was used to announce the Jubilee. And definition that I found was a very long horn turned up at the extremity. The national trumpet for rallying the people and rousing political or religious enthusiasm. And then there's a third type of trumpet, which is this trumpet here, that we like to feel that we are blowing at the present time, are the silver trumpets, a straight trumpet or a silver trumpet. And it's very interesting that in music, the material that the instrument is made out of has to do with the actual tone, the clarity and the beauty of the tone. And it's quite significant that it is a silver trumpet. Let's begin our lesson with a story from the Old Testament. It's more than a story. It's a story. It's a very graphic story, and a thrilling story, an exciting story, but it's also a type. And how can we say it's a type? We say it's a type because Paul says it's a type. He tells us that in Hebrews. First, let's get acquainted with the story, and then we'll be able to more fully appreciate what the story is all about. It's found in the 19th and 20th chapters of Exodus. It takes place very soon after the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea. Exodus 19, 16 through 20. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended up as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him in a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Now let's go to the 20th chapter of Exodus, verses 18 and 19. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now, to complete the story, let's go to the 34th chapter of Exodus. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. There's some things, special things, to consider. First, it was the third day in the morning. Next, there was thunder and lightning and thick clouds, and the mountain shook. And then there was the voice of a trumpet sounding louder and louder. All the people trembled. And I'm sure that most of us have a very graphic mind. We can picture these things in our mind. And rightly so. That's what we want to do. The people did not want Moses to speak to them, or did not want God to speak to them anymore. But they would have Moses speak to them. When Moses came down from the mount, his face shone. He put a veil over his face when he talked with the people. What does all this mean? This is the story. It's a very graphic story, a very thrilling story, a very exciting. But what does it mean to us? It's very important to us. It's very important to us to understand and to appreciate it and to realize that this is for our edification and furthermore, for our life, if we want to go that far. What after all is the Jubilee trumpet for? It really is liberty in life as far as the people are concerned. The third day is the millennial day. Well, how can I be so positive? Because the Bible says so. It's very plain. Jesus mentioned this third day when he said, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was referring to the millennial day when he would be given kingdom power and authority. Jesus' first miracle of turning water into wine was on the third day, picturing the giving to the people pure doctrine, pure truth, during the millennial day. There are several more such references to the third day, and they all point to the millennial day. It was in the morning of this third day that Moses went into the mount. This is the morning of the millennial day, or the beginning of that day. The thunders and lightnings And thick clouds are also symbolic. I'm sure that all of us, or almost all of us, know what they mean. Thunder and lightning in the scriptures are descriptive of the enlightening of the people. Brilliant flashes, a very accurate presentation. Sometimes you hear a news commentator or read something in a magazine, in a news magazine, or even in a newspaper that is very precise and very accurate. It's a very accurate diagnosis of the conditions of the patient. This has had its fulfillment in the increase of knowledge and the commotion and the unrest of the people because of it. In the 97th Psalm, David uses this same illustration when he says, "His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled." David also mentions the clouds and thick darkness. This is an illustration of the time of trouble. The shaking of the mountain, which is really an earthquake, is the complete shaking of the kingdoms of this world in Armageddon. Then there was the voice of the trumpet sounding louder and louder and louder. This is the Jubilee trumpet, which began to sound in 1874. And it gets gradually louder and louder until restitution, full restitution of mankind is accomplished. This is the seventh trumpet of Revelation. It's also called the last trump and the trump of God. And by the Lord's grace, let's be good musicians. Let's be good musicians and learn how to play good music. We will have more to say about this trumpet later, and we'll seek to find the many places in the Bible where this trumpet is mentioned and show how the events that transpire at the sounding of the trumpet exactly correspond to this type of Moses going up into the mount. All the people trembled. This is a graphic description of the fear and unrest of the people during this time of trouble. Jesus said in Luke 21, 25, and 26, "And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth." The people didn't want to talk to God anymore. They were frightened of him. But they would have Moses speak to them. The people of earth who experience the time of trouble, and especially the final phase of it, will not want God to express his anger any longer. But they will be willing to accept the mediator. They will be willing to accept the Christ. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Moses is a type of this mediator, which is Christ and his church. When Moses came down from the mount, his face shone. And our faces should shine. Sometimes we get a kind of a glum look on our face, have a kind of a glum attitude. But that is not the attitude of the truth. That's not the attitude of the message of truth. So Moses put a veil over his face when he talked to the people. When Moses ascended into the mount in the midst of the thunder and lightning and thick clouds, it's a picture of the gathering and completing of the faithful church during this time of trouble. On the third day, in the morning, it's a picture of their being taken up into the presence of God and glorified. The glorification of the church is pictured by the fact that Moses' face shone, so he had to cover it with a veil. Mankind cannot look upon the glorified church, and yet it is just these who will be man's mediator and administer the new laws of the kingdom. When Moses came down from the mount, he read the law to the people. And so the mediator, the glorified church, Christ and his bride, will teach the world, and mankind will learn righteousness and truth. And that's what we're learning now. We're still undergraduates in the school of Christ. We're still learning our lessons, basic lessons of righteousness and truth. "Then will I turn to the people a pure language that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Remember, all these things happen on the third day, early in the morning, the millennial day. We believe it began in 1874. The thunder and lightning, the increase of knowledge, and its resulting upheaval of society happens during the millennial day in the morning. The mountain shook, really an earthquake. The time of trouble and Armageddon happen in the millennial day in the morning. The voice of the trumpet, the voice of truth, sounding louder and louder and louder. The Jubilee trumpet, proclaiming liberty for the people, comes in the millennial day, beginning in the morning. All the people trembled. This is the condition of men's hearts today. And it's getting increasingly worse. Because we're in the millennial day, in the morning. Moses went up into the mountain, into the presence of God, picturing the glorification of the church in the millennial day, in the morning. Psalm 46:5 from Rotherham reads, God is in the midst of her, or the church. I'm putting that in there. For she, and she shall not be shaken. God will help her by the turnings of her morning. Leeser says, God shall help her in the dawning of her morning. So we see from these and from other scriptures, which we will point out shortly, that the completion and glorification of the church comes during the millennial day in the morning. This period of time, the millennial day, the message of truth that is so important to us and so important to, we believe, to those that will listen to us, is announced by the sounding of a trumpet. Just as a typical Jubilee day began by the sounding of a literal trumpet. In Revelation, there are seven trumpets mentioned. Revelation 8:2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. 8:6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, we'd like to quote from volume 2, page 148. The seven trumpets of Revelation are all symbolic and represent seven great periods of time and their events. The examination of these we leave for a subsequent volume. Suffice it here to say that we find ourselves today in the midst of the very events which make the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the great voices, the increase of knowledge, the angry nations, and so forth, taken in connection with time prophecies, establish this as a fact. I'm still quoting. Many events are yet to transpire before this seventh or last trumpet ceases to sound. As, for instance, the rewarding of the saints and prophets, the resurrection of all the dead, and so forth. In fact, it covers the entire period of the millennial reign of Christ as indicated by the events which are to transpire under it. End of quote. Remember that in the type, in the story that we read, when Moses went up into the mount on the third day, that there was the sound of a trumpet sounding louder and louder and louder and louder. We believe the fulfillment of this is in the same manner. It began to sound in 1874, at the time of our Lord's return and the beginning of Earth's great Jubilee. But it sounded faintly and few heard it. But it has been getting louder and louder. We believe it still is. It's the truth. Nothing can hold the truth down. Remember one time a brother said, wanted a scripture text for the convention, that the truth is mighty and it shall prevail. That's not a scripture. It's from one of the volumes. This is a quote from Brother Russell. But it is true, nevertheless. The truth is mighty and it shall prevail. But that is not a scripture. That's a quote out of one of the, you know. And this is true. This trumpet is getting louder and louder. And the people, the whole world over, are demanding their rights and their liberties and human justice, because the Jubilee proclaims this. This is precisely what is being proclaimed. The Jubilee proclaims liberty, liberty to the people. This trumpet voice will continue throughout the whole millennial day. We are only in the beginning of that day. Let's note an interesting scripture which speaks about the beginning of the trumpet sound. Revelation 10:7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. And what's the mystery of God? We believe that this is very strong evidence that the church, which we believe is the mystery of God, will be completed during it very shortly. And this is scriptural proof of that. Just as Moses went up into the mountain and was glorified in type in the morning of the third day. Paul further identifies and testifies to this fact in 1 Corinthians 15:52, where he speaks about the completion of the church and places it at the time of the last trumpet. There are only seven trumpets. So we know the seventh trumpet of Revelation is the same as the last trump, which Paul mentions here. Note how what happens when the trumpet begins to sound. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, or the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The same illustration is again used in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And here he calls it the trump of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now let's quote again from volume 2, page 147. Quote, the propriety of calling the seventh or last trump the trump of God is evident also when we remember that the events mentioned under the preceding six trumpets of Revelation refer to humanity's doings, while the seventh refers especially to the Lord's work and covers the day of the Lord. End of quote. Our Lord himself in Matthew 24:31 used the illustration of the trumpet at the time his church would be gathered and completed. Matthew 24:31. And he shall send his angels with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. The preceding verse marks the time as beginning with the Lord's return. So at the time of his return and the sounding of the trumpet, his church will be gathered out of the four winds. Then the four winds can come together in earth's symbolic whirlwind and Armageddon. We believe this is shown in Revelation 7:1-3, which we're all familiar with, where it states that the four winds would be held back until the saints of God are sealed. It's interesting to note the events mentioned as happening during the sounding of the seventh trump. Revelation 11:15, 18, and 19. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now that's beautiful music. That's beautiful music. A kingdom of righteousness and truth. Let's go on reading the scripture. I'm reading in Revelation 11:15, 18, and 19. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which corrupt the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now, what happens during the sounding of the seventh trumpet? What are the great voices in heaven? I'm sure that all of us here have been blessed by the preaching of Christ's kingdom by Brother Russell. And this has been proclaimed in Brother Russell's time and also in later times in the ecclesiastical heavens. The nations were angry. They are angry because they're being overtaken by Christ's kingdom. They're being judged. Judged with principles of absolute truth and absolute righteousness. And we should remember these principles and remember them well. Sometimes we forget that love is not incompatible with justice. They're compatible with each other. Thy wrath has come. It's the time of God's wrath. The time of the dead that they should be judged. It's the world's great judgment day. Give reward to the prophets. We believe that the prophets are the ancient worthies. And to the saints. The church will be completed and glorified as in the type of Moses. And them that fear my name, small and great. The giving of everlasting life to all the willing and obedient. And destroy them which corrupt the earth. This is something that we don't talk about too much. But the effect of truth and righteousness is to do away and to destroy and to root out every form that is in opposition to God and to his righteous principles and to the kingdom of Christ. Destroy them which corrupt the earth. The forces of evil will be eradicated from the earth. And this is a painful proposition. How many of us, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I would expect that all of us would raise our hands, have had some severe trials learning some of these very lessons where the truth has had to have its operation. It's had to have its personal application and a very painful thing. The forces of evil will be eradicated from the earth. This does not have reference to the final judgment and the little season when Satan will be loosed. This is the work of the millennial age in eradicating the effects of sin from the hearts of men. The temple of God was opened in heaven. What does that have reference to? This is a beautiful picture. The church is complete and ready to help and restore mankind. The temple of God was opened in heaven. The blessings could flow to the world of mankind. And there were lightnings, the enlightening of the people. Sometimes with a very, very precise and accurate description of what is wrong, is what the evil is or the bad is. And voices, people clamoring for their rights. And, you know, it's interesting that we as Bible students are very jealous, and rightly so, of our liberty in Christ. Rightly so. This Jubilee trumpet should make us very jealous of our liberty in bondage to Christ. Let nobody or nothing upset that. And an earthquake, the social upheaval and revolution which comes as a natural result of the enlightening of the people. And great hail. I don't know if you've ever been in a bad hailstorm or not, but it's very unpleasant. And sometimes there's just no other way for the Lord to accomplish his purposes than except with hail, with hard truth. The truth will be hard for many to bear at first because it goes against all their selfish ambitions. And this is where some of our lessons, I hope, are not too hard to take in connection with the truth. The second chapter of Joel describes the day of the Lord's wrath and the way his wrath will be executed through his great army. The Lord's great army is composed of the dissatisfied people who are clamoring for their rights and liberties. We see this army increasing in numbers every day. They protest against just about everything that oppresses them. And I think Bible students lead the group. And rightly so. Rightly so. I think I already tried to emphasize that we should exercise our liberty in Christ, which is slavery in a sense, in a most absolute sense. I realize that's a contradiction in terms, but it is true. This whole description of this event in history is prefaced in Joel 2:1 by saying, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any like it, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The morning spread upon the mountains. It's an interesting illustration. Remember in the type that it was the third day in the morning, and the mountain was covered with clouds and thick darkness. This is described in the 97th Psalm, the same time. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. This is just what we learned in Revelation 11:19. That there would be lightnings that would enlighten the people, and that this would result in a great commotion. Zephaniah describes the same period of time and also pinpoints it in history by saying that it is the day of the trumpet. The day of the trumpet. Zephaniah 1:14 through 16. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And it's our privilege. It's our privilege, and even more, it's incumbent upon us. We're duty-bound, I believe, to become involved in this whole thing, to become involved with this silver trumpet, blowing the truth and blowing it just as accurately and precisely and beautifully as we know how, to throw our whole weight and energy and enthusiasm and zeal and determination and everything else that we've got into it. The high towers would be some of these governments that are looked up to as leading powers in the world. They are looked up to and relied upon for their power and strength. But the day of the Lord is working against them. For in Revelation we read that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. These are the kingdoms that are making war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. Beautiful scripture in the 47th Psalm, verses 8 and 9 from Rotherham. God, I'm reading from Rotherham, Psalm 47, 8 and 9. God hath become king over the nations. God hath taken his seat upon his holy throne. The willing-hearted of the people have gathered themselves together. The people of God, of the God of Abraham, for to God belong the shields of the earth, greatly as he exalted. Then especially, we can't leave out Israel. In Isaiah 27, 12, and 13, we have a description of the time of the trumpet, and it speaks of the gathering of the nation of Israel, which has happened since 1874. In Isaiah 27, 12, and 13, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the streams of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come that were ready to perish in the lands of Assyria and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." We realize that they don't worship the Lord in sincerity and truth as yet. They don't worship. This prophecy is not completely fulfilled yet, but it has begun to be fulfilled. In conclusion, our contention is that our whole life depends upon our living up to the principles of truth and righteousness that we know something about. It's one thing to try to tell somebody else about what the truth is all about, and it's another thing entirely to live up to it, to live up to our responsibilities, to our privileges as new creatures in Christ Jesus. But there's nothing less as far as we're concerned. We are living in the time of the seventh trumpet. We have the privilege of blowing these trumpets. We believe that the trumpet has been sounding louder and louder. And could we say more beautifully? Maybe that doesn't appeal to some. But could we say that the trumpet has been not only sounding louder and louder, but with more and more quality? And will continue to sound throughout the entire millennial day. We believe we are in the morning of the third day in the type, the millennial day. The morning of this day is the time for darkness and trouble and for distress upon the nations. It is also the time for the completion and glorification of the church. Just as Moses was glorified in type, when his face shone and the people could not look upon him, we believe the time is short, is very short, and that the Lord is making up his jewels. And we're admonishing you to be faithful to your covenant of sacrifice, to blow the silver trumpets, to be more faithful than you've ever been before, to receive the blessing from the Lord, and to not only be louder and louder, but more beautiful and more beautiful, if it's possible, by the Lord's grace.
Brother Ralph. That's a very thrilling subject, the seventh trump, the Lord's trump. The other six trumpets had nothing to do with the establishment of Christ's kingdom, but in the seventh trump was the time when the kingdoms of our Lord are become the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. And that's, I think, the greatest revolution that ever has or will take place during the seventh trump, when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And it's also the time when the saints shall possess the kingdom. And so that's the trump we're all interested in, the seventh last trumpet. Well, brethren, I think we're going to eliminate a hymn. We're already behind schedule. And I would like to say that the children's meetings will begin at 10:30 in a few minutes, 10 minutes. And I'd also like to announce the remaining conventions that are to be held in this vicinity. In Hartford, there will be a convention on May 5th. Waterbury, now there will be one in Sayville. Hicksville will be the one on Memorial Day, May 27th. Waterbury, Connecticut, June 2nd. Atlantic City, June 8th and 9th, and a New Brunswick 4th of July convention will be July 6th and 7th. Well, brethren, I think we'll rise and we'll ask the blessing. Brother Ralph Gaunt, will you please ask the blessing on this service?
Our gracious, loving Father in heaven, for thy mercy and for thy love and for thy watch care over us and for thy word of truth and for the ransom sacrifice and for all the many blessings we receive from thee from time to time, we thank thee and praise thee. Pray thou bless the words that have been spoken. Pray thou especially bless our fellowship now and the remaining sessions of this convention. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.